for Rantanen. Kicked it to his stick. Chipped to the front. McKinnon scores! Rantanen to McKinnon for the first goal for the Avalanche this year.
That was just the beginning for Mikko Rantanen last night. That was just the beginning. Two goals, two assists. He was the one star of the game. Nathan McKinnon had a goal. Kale McCarr had a goal. 5-2 for the Colorado Avalanche. And Angel, Susan and Cheryl love that. The Avs are 1-0 to start the season. And I think you'll be proud of me. I got home from our UNC event last night, Angel, and I watched all that I could. I stayed in until Mikko's second goal in the third period, and I said, okay, hey, the boys don't need me anymore. I got to go to bed. Exhausted. So we got all these 8 o'clock TNT games. Nuggets were on 8 o'clock TNT on Tuesday night. The Avs TNT 8 o'clock last night, and that took forever to get started.
8 o'clock is generous.
Yeah, it was.
Puck drop was at 8:27.
Well, I missed, what was the hubbub before the game? Like,
I don't know. Everybody they ended the was it Boston game?
Yeah.
And then they sat at the TV desk for, 20 minutes.
Why can't, when we say 8.
Go to the game.
Just, if you say 8, do 8. If it's not 8, do 8:15 then. Just say that so we know.
I was telling myself this yesterday, I want to watch more hockey, but these games are so long. And if you start at 8:30...
Yeah,
people aren't staying up till midnight to watch hockey.
I honestly was exhausted, but in the second when the Kings made it, 3-2, because there was a lot of goals in that second period. Kings got up, made it 3-2, and I'm thinking, oh man, all right, I gotta stay involved here. I gotta watch this, and then Mikko got his rebound goal, whatever. I'm learning hockey terms. And Mikko is a stud. Didn't you think it was funny, Angel? Our poll question yesterday, Tight Knit Brewing poll question, was who's the best player on the Avs team? Kale McCarr or Nathan McKinnon? First two goals of the season, Nathan McKinnon, Kale McCarr. Kind of fitting. But then Mikko took over, and Avs get the dub. 5-2. That's my good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. That's my good. The Colorado Avalanche get the dub, and I love reading it. We got to recharge our conversation, too, with Kyle Fredrickson with the Gazette. That'll be fun. But I think he had tweeted something out that Kale McCarr said, hey, we watched the Nuggets parade. And during the parade, a lot of us guys were texting each other remember that? That was awesome. That felt great. That kind of reinvigorated us in our push was the Nuggets. So look at that. Two ball arena teams just motivating each other. That's how this thing's going to go. Could this be, Angel? Could this be the year? The special, special year that we see the Avs and the Nuggets have a parade. Denver's going to go nuts, dude.
It's very possible. The defending champs, former defending Stanley Cup champs, both kind of up there in terms of odds to win it.
I think they're both kind of loosely picked to win it.
I like this Roomies kind of style that these two teams are going with under the Kronk leadership. So they want to keep winning.
Doesn't it feel like this year more than any year in the history of ever that this would be the year both teams can do it?
I think so.
Last year, the Avs were the returning Stanley Cup champs, and the Nuggets still had question marks. Remember, there was a lot about will Michael Malone be long for this team? If they don't get past the second round, if they don't go to the Western Conference Finals. So it didn't feel as strong. This year, the Avs had injuries and weird stuff going on, especially in the playoffs with Nichushkin. This is the year. You're getting healthy. You're feeling good about everybody. I had fun watching hockey last night. It's not my go-to. Football, basketball is where I live. But I had some fun.
With hockey, if there's not a goal within the first 5 minutes, it can take some time to just get into the game.
Well, yeah, because I don't understand the stuff that happens really in between the goals, just moving around. But I'm starting to pay attention. There was a goal, one of the goals the Kings got, I think, they lined up an I formation to block the goalie's vision, to block Georgie's vision. And the broadcasters were talking about that. They're like, it's like an I formation in football, only it's used to kind of block the line of sight so you can work. I'm starting to pay more attention to angles and just inhibiting the vision of the goalie. But that's the thing. Like, I don't understand. Basketball, I can, every single play, whether it's a score or not, you can, I can evaluate whether a bad pass hit here, whatever. It's a new world. That was a long good there. Let me go with the bad. We're going to see the Swifty tonight, aren't we? We're going to see the Swifty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be bad. She's going to be at the game? She'll be there, Kansas City?
According to TMZ, yes.
Good. They carted her in a popcorn barrel, and away we go.
Well, apparently she took a private jet from wherever to California for her movie premiere last night, and now she's going to take her private jet to Kansas City tonight.
Yeah, it's annoying. Stupid. The ugly is, wow, the Frank Clark thing didn't last very long. Broncos set to part ways with pass rusher Frank Clark.
Yeah. Flank is his name now.
That's what he gets. But they could trade him still, maybe. It's kind of the same thing as Randy Gregory. We're releasing you, but if there's any teams that would like to give us something, we're offering late draft picks if you want. So we're offering that.
They just restructured his contract. So when they do eventually move him, one, they don't have to take a huge hit on the cap. And two, the teams that are trading for him, if that's the route, they don't have to take on a huge contract.
Yeah, he gave back almost $1.7 million in guaranteed salary. So that helps. Second pass rusher in a week the Broncos have parted ways with. It just never took hold. You know, even you saw Frank Clark late in the preseason games and you wondered what that was going to look like. He wasn't really happy about playing late in the preseason. So this is the Broncos again making moves to clear the path more for younger guys. Guys they want to evaluate and see who's going to be in the future plans for Sean Payton. Because it is about the future now. And so Tanner asked me on Good Morning NoCo if I'm excited about this game tonight. Angel, what did I say last week would happen if the Broncos lost to the Jets?
Fire sale.
Yeah. Rebuild mode. I stand by it. I've learned the error of my ways. I'm not recharging my brain going, but no, never mind. This tonight, you win tonight and you prove that you can beat the Chiefs. No, because what's going to happen if they win tonight? They'll go put a dud of a game against who's next for them? Is it the Packers? Is it Green Bay?
Yes.
They'll go put a dud of a game up against the Packers. This is just what we've seen with the Broncos.
Seeing this now, multiple league sources are saying the Broncos are expected to trade wide receiver Jerry Jeudy.
All right.
At some point.
Does he play tonight?
I don't know. What are the injuries?
Put something on tape tonight. Increase that draft pick or that potential draft pick you could get for Jerry. I'm not that shocked by it. I don't sound shocked because I'm not shocked. Just assumed at some point we would be hearing that the Broncos would move on.
He wasn't on the injury report this week, so he should play.
Well, he probably plays. Go out and have
I'd
a game.
It would happen today because you want to give him time to get to his new team and not have to get ready for a game on Sunday, but next Sunday.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens tonight. Pretty simple, tight-knit brewing poll question of the day today on Chell. Will the Broncos cover 10.5? What are you feeling on this?
I liked your analogy earlier. Like, if you put, say this was just the Jets in Kansas City, I think the Jets' defense is better. So that tells you this could get ugly.
Yeah, basically, because Tanner's getting caught in his, like, you know, his Broncos onesie, and he's like, we can do it, and we're all excited. And I'm saying, basically, just pretend that the Jets have the exact same Broncos roster, exact same coaching staff, and they're going to Kansas City tonight. Just take your Broncos hat off.
I think the term trap game is popping up again for Kansas City. We heard that a few weeks ago with the Dolphins. They didn't approach it as a trap game. Broncos obviously didn't show up for that game. So how do the Chiefs kind of, what's their mindset going into this game? Is it, it's just Thursday night against the Broncos. Okay, let's just get a win and get out of here. Or, no, let's go in and beat our rival and take it to them.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got to make my pick coming up in the third hour today, and we'll go. Codes just says, "How about the Mavs?" Codes, you didn't listen to the first like 10 minutes of the show, bro. We came in strong with Miko Rantanen. Codes,
he's on a jet lag.
His head's in the clouds.
A little bit. He's on a 17-hour delay.
Well, you know why his head's in the clouds because the weather thing.
Yeah,
he's a weather man, so his head is in the clouds quite a bit. Not in a bad way, though. So his head was in the clouds, at least for the first 10 minutes. Yes, we talked Avs. We will talk Avs. I watched last night, Angel. I'm pumped about that. I'm going to do it. It was fun. It's not basketball. It's not football. for me. So I'm really trying. I'm excited about the Colorado grit and having Eric Lacroix on the show every Friday. So I am going to make a real effort to watch a lot of Avs games. And I'm going to become, who knows, I'm going to start getting terminology, Angel. Because right now my terminology is nice shot, great save.
Good check, good slap.
Not even the slap. Like, I don't even tweet about, oh, it's a good check.
Nice, you got him on the shift there. Take that.
Yeah, nothing. Don't do that. Just, it's very above, but it'll be fine because we're going to do it. You've listened to this show for years, guys. You know, I'm not like the number one hockey guy, but we're going to get there. When you have legends of the game like Eric Lacroix join you every week, you have to. So excited about that. Angel, look at these notes. I have noted out several
Brady's
things.
He's got a full page of notes, folks.
I love when you broadcast.
He's not just faking it.
No. I have got notes on every game between the Chiefs and the Broncos dating back to November 15th, 2015.
Wednesday night.
That is how I spent my Wednesday night.
In misery.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I wanted to highlight a few, and it's nothing fancy. I'm not going to give you like yards per rush, all that stuff. But I just wanted to highlight things. You want to know the most... Here's the theme. Here's the themes I'm seeing. Travis Kelce dominates the Broncos. And we have been through a lot of quarterbacks. And that, a lot of different guys went up against the Chiefs over the years.
I'm just imagining you in your basement watching these games on repeat. And there's a time lapse going. And as the night goes, it just gets sadder and sadder.
It's like, what do you see in those movies sometimes where it's torture, where they set them in front of the same video over and 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 over again. And then you finally
stop when you want to. I can't.
You just finally snap. And you leave the room and you're like,
I lost the remote.
Travis Kelce. Patrick Mahomes started his career against the Broncos and has never looked back since. I mean, I miss Emmanuel Sanders. I miss having an elite wide receiver. I miss Demaryius Thomas. I mean, this is just, it's depressing to look at. So I want to lay that out for you a little bit later on throughout the show today. But last night was fun. Georgiev gave up two goals, but I got to say, man, there were a lot of opportunities for the Kings when the Avs were up 1-0. Some power play opportunities, and Georgie was exceptional. A lot of shots coming his way last night, but he was exceptional, I thought anyway. You know, you look at how many shots on goal.
24 block shots.
Yeah. Pretty good. He had 34 saves too, and then block shots, all that stuff. So he was rocking. That's my, I guess, if you want to take one concern away from, you know, several opportunities for the Kings. And Cale Makar, I think did he have two penalties last night?
I think so, yeah. They had about 19 minutes of penalty time.
One was embellishment.
What does that mean?
I don't, look it up. I don't know, man.
On hockey.
I was watching and they're like,
you're so cool with your big words.
Cale Makar, first penalty was embellishing. Is that like flopping? Is embellishing flopping? Help me out.
Is it like excessive celebration?
No, I don't know.
You made that slap shot look really nice.
You know what else I like about hockey? The play, regulation of the play, they blew a whistle, and the Kings still took a shot at the goalie. Mm-hmm. Avs got pissed.
Mind games.
Went after the Kings. So in basketball, when they blow the whistle and a guy still takes a three, and you see Kevin Garnett used to be famous for this, he would run up, slap it away, because you never want to let them see the ball go through the hoop. But it never really started a fight. Mm-hmm. Avs, it's like, you shot a goal after the whistle? Come here. And then, bam, they were like 5 minutes into the game.
Because that can mess with the goalie.
Yeah.
A goal that doesn't count gets by you, you're like, oh, man, I should have got that. Why didn't I get that?
Or he strains to stop it and hurts himself on a meaningless shot. I don't know if I'm changing my stance on fighting. Kind of, but...
It needs fighting.
Yeah.
It's the only sport we have left that... is not actually fighting.
I used to feel that way. I used to be against fighting.
I feel
fighting.
Like it's more understandable. And
well, they're so they get
and these
so
guys are
rattled.
Smart. When they start fighting, gloves off, hats off, fist to face.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in the NFL where we're punching
They
helmets.
Don't know how to fight because they leave their helmets on and they're like, come here, you, bam, broke three fingers.
TJ Watt.
Yeah. That's why Miles Garrett just says, no, give me your helmet. I hit you with your own helmet. That way I don't get hurt. And you get extra hurt on this. I want your predictions for the game tonight. That's what I would like on our First Advantage Text line 888-530-0043. Will the Broncos cover 10.5? That's a hefty spread there. You don't see a lot of 10.5 point spreads in the NFL, but that is what the wise guys are looking at, thinking right now. Will that drop a little bit? Kelce is listed as questionable. That certainly can change some things, especially when you look in the history of Travis Kelce going off. But I want your thoughts. I want your predictions, your score predictions and all that. We'll get it. Here we go. Aaron, this is what you do. You ask and thou'st shalt receive. Right? A little Game of Thronesy there for you, Angel. Embellishment is just flopping. Keep acting out of sports. Aaron, thank you. Can't they just call it flopping? Embellishment. It's hockey, man. It's all good. We're good. We got the definition.
It was a little dramatic.
Was it really? I don't even like.
Well, like he kind of hooks him from the left side, yeah. And Kale just kind of throws his arm and stick in the air.
Yeah. Oh, I was kind of, when I got home, I put it on my iPad. I'm watching in bed, getting ready to go to sleep, just relax, whatever. And I saw it, and then I just kind of was, oh, okay, that's bad. And then I didn't really go back and watch the replay. So embellishment is flopping. Hey, look at us.
I think flopping on ice just looks more dramatic because it's not a stable surface.
Well, then they can get their little skates going.
Right.
Ooh, like they slipped on a banana peel in a cartoon or something. Oh, yeah. Look at us.
The ice skate. It's not hard. It's not easy.
We do what did we learn at the end of every show? We have already learned something, Angel. I'm telling you, Hooligans, you tune into the whole show, it's edufreakincational. You're going to learn something.
Is that a new rule, or has that been around for a while? Because I've never seen that in hockey.
Ask Aaron. Aaron's on a roll right now. Aaron, is that a new rule, or is that an older rule? We're learning, baby. That's the beauty of us. We're not going to sit here and pretend that we know everything. I know most things, but I'm not going to pretend I know everything. And here's my weak spot. We're looking for it. Who knows, dude? Next year, we might be doing NASCAR talk. Things keep rolling.
Can we do F1 instead?
What would your assessment be?
You're turning left.
Yeah.
Going fast.
Faster. Pulled in. You know what I don't understand in NASCAR?
The driving part?
When they're driving, right? Okay, they're all in the same. They're going around lap two, lap three. Mm-hmm. You pull into the pit crew, okay? And then they keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You now have to speed up to catch up now?
You have to speed up to keep pace with the rest of the group.
Because if you go to the pit, how many laps are they going while you're at the pit crew?
Well, ideally, you'd be a lap ahead.
So now you have to go overtime.
Well, because eventually they're going to have to go to the pit, too.
Ah. Well, like, Lightning McQueen never went to the pit crew when he was a rookie. No. His rookie season, he was like, no. Fill me up, give me gas, but that's it. I don't need new tires.
And what happened to him?
He did get a three-way tie in that Piston Cup shot.
Shouldn't have been a tie.
Yeah, but he did get it. So at least like he proved that you didn't need real pit stops to at least tie with the tops. And then he
missed the end of the movie.
Well, yeah, but the first part. But then, yes, he did prove later that it would make more sense to use my pit crew and make them my pals and teamwork and all that stuff. So everything I know about NASCAR, I learned from the true story based on Lightning McQueen.
Hmm.
So, we'll see. Aaron, I'm not sure when they started calling it, but I know it's been in the league for a couple of years now. All right. Look at us go. This is fantastic. Avs fans are helping us grow together. Hockey fans, we're growing together. Because hockey's a big deal. We acknowledge that. 25 minutes after the hour, tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Will the Broncos cover 10.5 tonight? That is what's available at thewholeshow.com. Tanner says, the guy stuck his knee out there and went knee-to-knee with him. That's not embellishing. Well, it was embellishing according to the rules, Tanner. Hockey much?
Looked like he was trying to get a hooking call.
Yeah. I got it up right now. It does look funny, though. You're right. Embellishing, flopping, and hockey is way more comical.
More dramatic.
Yeah.
He has no control over that. LeBron falls, it's, I can control this.
Yeah.
Makar is just flailing.
Yeah. Because you get knocked off your center of gravity there, you're going to have a hard time. Basketball, yeah, LeBron should not be falling down. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Last night was a fun time for UNC's kind of scrimmage against each other, all fun, great donors out there. One of those guys that believes in UNC and the community is my guy Ryan Hicks at Renaissance Insurance Group. Excellent dude. Got a chance again to hang out with him. He's becoming like one of my good friends, and honestly, we got to know each other through advertising. So I'm beginning to trust him and know more and more about him and his kind of philosophy. And guys, listen, there's a lot of insurance companies, a lot. You got Primetime parading around the duck and all that stuff yesterday as we talked to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. But here's my suggestion for you. Go with somebody local that gets it, that also supports the community, and somebody with the track record that Renaissance Insurance Group has. Clearly, they are rocking and rolling because everybody's going to them. They've always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs for Weld County. They are the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Trust me, do not lose what you've been working so hard for. Call my guy, Ryan, at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. All right, Angel, since we got diehard hockey fans listening to this show now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to win some tickets right now. Colorado Grit, you've heard us talk a lot about this team. This is a fun venue. Out at the Greeley Ice House, downtown Greeley. Awesome environment. Angel went last or 2 weeks ago and absolutely loved it. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Tomorrow night, they're playing at 7 o'clock against the Lone Star Brahmas, or Saturday afternoon at 3:45. I got four tickets that I'm going to give away right now, and you get to pick which game you go to. All I need is your name and your email address, and Angel will take care of you. So I'm going to go caller number four. You're going to get four tickets to go to either tomorrow night's 7 o'clock game against Lone Star or the 3:45 game. Trust me, you are not going to be let down by this. These guys are fast, fun, great local hockey. And, you know, a guy like Eric Lacroix puts a stamp on it. Caller 4-970-353-1310, 970-353-1310. You get yourself four tickets for either tomorrow night's game or Saturday afternoon's game. 32 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Colorado State looking to bounce back this weekend after a disappointing second half, specifically against Utah State. Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins Coloradoan joining us to discuss. You know, I also might, if we have time, Kevin, I'm getting pretty excited about basketball. I'm really looking forward to that.
Absolutely. It's about that time. I was out at a men's basketball practice yesterday seeing the guys work. So, yeah, it's always a shock when we almost get there, but here we are.
I might ask you this quickly. Do you have an idea of what you think the starting lineup's going to look like? We know Isaiah's starting, probably Patrick Cartier. Fill in the gaps.
Yeah, I actually just wrote about this, so that'll be coming to an internet near you. But yeah, I think there are three locks. Zay is going to start at point guard, it appears. You know, it seems like he has inside track on that job.
Seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you got to see what he does the rest of camp, but he has a chance. And then Patrick Cartier, like you say, Joel Scott, those two will start at, you know, the center and forward. It doesn't really matter what you call them. Basically, Joel Scott will defend the best post interior scorer on the opponent. And then you kind of have the two up for grabs, that sort of the two wing positions of shooting guard and small forward. And I think there's three guys for those. It's Josiah Strong, who's back healthy after a medical redshirt year. Jalen Lake, who obviously has been around for a few years, and then the kid from down the road, Neek Clifford, coming in from Colorado. I think it's those three guys for two spots. You can make, and they all kind of bring slightly different things, so there's some unique combos you can do there. So really, I'm not sure which way it's going to go. Whichever of those three doesn't start will come off the bench, you know, basically sixth man. So in some ways, it doesn't matter, but it is important, especially a player's, you know, to be, you know, the ones introduced before a game. So it's those three guys, but I'm really not sure yet. I really think that Nico doesn't know yet either.
Well, I keep trying to text those guys too. Hey, any hints there yet? They just kind of send back like the laughy emoji. So I don't know what that means, Kevin.
They're either laughing at you. Or,
could
you know,
be.
Who could?
Yeah.
But no, I think it really is. You know, this team, this is the deepest team Nico Medved has had here at CSU, which is two-sided. You know, on the one hand, you might have to manage some disgruntledness if guys aren't getting minutes. But on the other hand, you have a lot of options, a lot of different lineups and things you can do. And kind of with that in mind, you know, 3 weeks or so until the season, I think they're still tinkering away to figure out who fits best, you know, with other players.
Well, I know on both sides, men's basketball and women's basketball, you got Isaiah receiving a lot of the preseason accolades, as well as McKenna Hofschild, too. I mean, both of those players are going to go down in history as two of the greatest CSU Rams ever.
Yeah, both voted preseason Mountain West Player of the Year on their respective sides. And frankly, I think those were pretty much slam dunk picks. They, ironically, they're both number four. We'll have the conversation later, but, you know, do you hang a co-number four in the rafters, you know, a year from now? But those two, yeah, they're going to completely rewrite the record books.
I'm excited for the season. Love basketball. And we're seeing preseason games in the NBA. We're getting scrimmages loading up the next couple of weeks for area teams. So, that's right around the corner. We're still knee-deep in football. And, Kevin, where are we, man? Colorado State lost 44-24 last week to Utah State. We've talked a lot about the game. We'll spend a lot of time looking at Boise State. But what are the first thoughts that kind of came to your brain as you saw this game unfold?
I mean, it's just wild. Just a complete snowball of things going wrong. You know, kind of snowballing, turning into an avalanche, really. You know, it started so well, but the offense never really got going. The 17-0 lead was, I don't want to say a mirage. I mean, the points count, but, you know, the offense never really got going. They had chances to totally bury the game. The defense was dominant in the first quarter. It could, maybe you could argue, should have been, you know, 24-31 nothing. And you know, at that point, I think it's game over. But then, you know, CSU couldn't hold the ball. The defense, Utah State ran 50 plays in the first half. The defense got totally worn down, started really getting gashed. And that just continued in the second half. The defense gives up far too many big plays. It's such a weird defense. They're making big plays, lots of sacks, lots of turnovers, but they're also giving up tons of huge scoring plays. You know, they don't really make teams have long, methodical drives. It's either CSU forces a quick, you know, three and out or turnover, or, you know, the opponent scores, you know, within five plays or so with a big play somehow. So it's a really weird mix of things, and basically everything went wrong to, you know, highlight the other things going wrong in that game.
Kevin, on the defensive side, what is it then? Because we all agree they have some playmakers. They have some really good players on this team. And then moments, they look really aggressive. They're getting after it. But as you said, they can be chipped away and sometimes really quickly. What is that? Is it different substitutions, guys getting out of place? I mean, can you put your thumb on it?
Yeah, I think it's a number of different things. There definitely were a few substitution errors basically last week where Utah State was playing really fast. CSU tried to sneak subs in, and basically they shouldn't have. You're better off playing with 11 tired players than 9 players as you try and shuffle guys on. But mostly I think it's a few things. One, the offense has changed. You know, it is kind of the air raid now, but it's not consistent. And so CSU is having more plays per game, which means the opponent has more plays per game. But when it's going poorly, that really flips a pressure onto the defense. And like I said, Utah State, 50 plays in the first half. That's an insane number. So you have the fatigue factor where CSU might need to, like Frey Banks said, almost dial down the aggressiveness a bit at times and just, you know, sometimes you're okay giving up, you know, an 8-yard catch and a couple first downs, but, you know, bend but don't break. And then, yeah, you know, Jay Norvell said he thought, you know, with the turnovers forced early in the game that, you know, some guys maybe lost some technique trying to, you know, maybe make too big a play following that. So there's some of that. And then, you know, the offense is not helping with the turnovers. CSU leads the nation in turning the ball over, which obviously puts the defense in bad places. So it's a combo of all those things. I think it's, you know, not just one thing. But like you said, you can't force those turnovers, get all the sacks if you don't have some good players. So some of this seems correctable. You know, I don't think it's going to become, you know, the best defense in the country or anything like that. But it seems like things that you can find a way to fix and improve on, which I guess is the good news, is it's not completely hopeless. It's not like it's just, you know, 11 just terrible players out there.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think when I was talking to Jack on Tuesday, that was kind of where I said, dude, you have guys that can make plays, Jack's being one of them. So you have enough of these guys. When I look at like the Broncos, for example, tonight going against the Chiefs, I'm not picking out a bunch of playmakers, you know, at the NFL level that can make a big difference for this team, at least at this stage. When I look at CSU, I do see a lot of playmakers, so hopefully that's something that bodes well for Colorado State. Here's where I am on the quarterback thing, Kevin. Braden Fowler Nicolosi. He's electric. He can make plays. He's had a lot of turnovers. And for the future, like talking next year, I'm all like, okay, yeah, give it time, all that. But when I say I'm concerned about the quarterback, and I get some Rams fans saying, no, there's no concern, he'll learn, he'll get better. Well, I'm thinking about this year. I'm thinking about how do the Rams win 6-plus games this year? And that means BFN's going to have to figure it out now. He's going to have to get better at not turning the football over now.
Yeah, I think both sides of that have validity to them. Yes, you know, I think one of the reasons there are some people calling for a change, quarterback change within the Utah State game. And I'm saying, you know, no, I think Jay, he didn't directly say it, but he kind of said, you know, this is a guy that has not seen much. You know, he told me Wednesday, he said, we talked till we were blue in the face about, you know, the zones and various things, you know, Utah State would throw at him. And he, you know, it's not that he's not listening or anything, but you can't know it or understand until you really see it. I've equated it to a pitcher. You know, a new pitcher comes up. Their first start, they're really good. No one has any tape on their stuff. And then, you know, after, you know, they pitch a few times, teams start to learn a little bit what they do. That's sort of where we're at with Braden Fowler and Nicolosi, is teams are, you know, throwing different things at him to challenge him now that there's some tape on what he does well. And now he has to see it and respond. You know, if you think, equate it to a year ago, this is basically Clay Millen in, like, the Sacramento State game, like, very early on in the development arc. So yeah, I think you need him to just see this stuff and learn from it. But yeah, to your point, this season you cannot turn the ball over at this rate. And I'm not, you know, I certainly would not advocate for a change again. I think, you know, you would just be getting too much whiplash. But if, I don't know, 3-4 games from now, you know, your quarterback is still turning it over 4 times a game, you know, you just cannot have that. So you hope to see signs of growth and progress. I think you will. I mean, this was, anyone that thought BFN was just going to go out and average 350 and 4 touchdowns a game, no problem for the next 10 games, you know, that just made no sense. So I think you probably will see a bounce back, but you do need to. I think we're going to learn a lot, not only about BFN, but this team as a whole kind of mental makeup this weekend. Because I know fans are all doom and gloom, thinking everything's falling apart. Players and teams usually take it more in stride because, you know, they're used to riding the college football roller coaster. But if this team comes out and gets walloped by Boise State again, I think I will be a little bit more concerned about where they're at. So we're going to learn a lot about the mental makeup of this group.
The Rams have never handled business against the Broncos, Kevin. This is an interesting year for Boise State. Now, they end up winning. They were down 14-0 against San Jose State last week, but they end up pulling away 35-27. I don't know where I am with Boise State. I think I told you on Rams Weekly last week, Kevin, every time I buy in, they let me down. Every time I say they're not going to win, they surprise me and go win. I don't know. You tell me what to think of this team coming into town this weekend.
Yeah, that's what it feels like this Boise State has been for the last couple of years. I mean, yeah, in a lot of ways, you think they're down. You look at their, you know, their defense is usually great, and their numbers defensively are really poor. You know, they've lost some games, close games that they probably should have been able to pull out given circumstances. But then you also look in, they're 2-0 in Mountain West play, and, you know, one of the leaders there. So it's a kind of, this is modern Boise State, you know, pretty up and down, but seem to figure it out at the key times. So I think it's a team that is vulnerable, but good and probably improving. They're doing a 2-quarterback system, which generally I hate, but they managed to make it work last week. So it's a really funky, I mean, let's be really honest, it's two really funky teams that seem to have pretty high highs at times and pretty low lows at times.
Yeah, and the two quarterback situation too. Talen Green, it just felt like he was taken off last year and was going to be untouchable coming into the season, but he's had some interesting games. He can certainly run, he can certainly move around, so that's going to be a concern. But they do, Maddox Madsen, they like kind of trying out two different guys, and I'm with you. I absolutely hate it. I don't think you get into a true rhythm, but they figured it out last week at least.
Yeah, it's funky. They seem to, you know, most times teams that do this go series by series, they kind of rotate within a series. You know, first two plays could be Madsen, then Green will come in, or vice versa. You know, it's just one week that they've kind of done it, you know, as the plan, so there's no real discernible pattern yet. So it's going to be really fascinating to watch, and, you know, another challenge for that CSU defense, because you have to be very aware of who is in, because, yeah, like you say, I think it does change a little bit, you know, the offensive game plan depending on who's in there.
The Rams coming into this one, again, it's their homecoming, right, Kevin? So a little extra juice for Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, it's never a bad thing. I think they'll probably get another pretty good crowd for this one. And, you know, for all the anger and angst and whatever you want to call it on social media from the Utah State game, that all disappears real fast if you go beat Boise State. You know, that Utah State game will be a far distant memory that no one will bring up if you beat Boise State. So, you know, you can look at a really tough challenge that, you know, could have the season sort of on the brink, or a really great opportunity.
Yeah, Kevin, I'm out this afternoon or this evening, so I know Tanner's stepping in with you guys for Rams Weekly. You'll get a full breakdown of this Rams-Broncos game coming up this Saturday. I'm looking forward to it, my friend.
Absolutely. It should be a fun show.
All right, Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, in 10 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break here. It's The Whole Show, powered by Chevron, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. Hey, you're getting ready for this game tonight. Maybe you're going to celebrate. Maybe you're going to need, you know, just something to help ease the pain. That's where On the Rocks Liquor comes in. We're always doing our game beer of the week. They got several tastings happening throughout the weekend. They are the cleanest liquor store you're ever going to see. Trust me on this. John and Tony have created an amazing environment in there. And so it's easy to find. You see all the fact that they're supporting all these local breweries. I absolutely love it. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to talk to offensive coordinator Blair Peterson for the UNC Bears, see if they can continue to grow offensively, which I think we all agree the Bears team, 0-5 on the season, is better offensively than they were a year ago. They're really going to need that boost going up against Sacramento State this weekend. Bears were off last week with the bye week, and now they're trying to still get that first dub for Ed Lamb and company. So excited to catch up with Blair. We've never had him on the program before, so we'll look forward to that coming up. Jesse Kurtz will join us from the Mountain West Network. An absolute monster game coming up against Air Force, or between Air Force and Wyoming. Very excited for that. I don't really do my official game of the week because there's so many games anymore. That definitely would be my game of the week. That's the one. Wyoming Air Force. Because this will tell us who the top team in the Mountain West Conference truly is. That's where we are. So that should be a quick game. A lot of running. High intensity. Good defenses. Good running backs. Good schemes. But Air Force is Air Force. They're extremely complicated. Our boy Cody Tucker did a great write-up at 7220sports.com and talked to the linebackers coach. Another bull, by the way, about how do you stop Air Force and how confusing it really is to stop Air Force. It's not all just ground and pound and we're going to out-tough you. They out-complicate you, too. Talk about that more coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by Chevron.